One thing I have noticed with FM, listening to you speak about wide deviation like in a broadcast station, is the capture effect. It seems to be a little different as the bandwidth increases significantly of the capture effect or interference ratio between, like, you know, one station to another compared to, like, narrowband FM. That is one thing I have noticed. It seems like a narrow band that doesn't take as much of a signal to capture the, you know, the original signal you're listening to, but for an FM, it takes a significant change in signal strength. You can hear it, like, underneath it or interfering with it, but it doesn't seem like originally you just take the thing out, like, completely capturing one over the other.
Yeah, a broadcast FM receiver made for plus or minus 75 KC has an IF can that is very close to 200 kilohertz wide. And if you're listening to that FM broadcast receiver and you got the volume set at something reasonable and somebody kills that transmitter and now you know you're going to get noise, you get a little bit of noise in the background. Nothing very bad. Take a narrowband FM receiver and you're listening to a nice signal and somebody kills the transmitter, all of a sudden the noise comes up in the background. It's super loud. That's one thing. If you're measuring how many microvolts a signal it takes to get 20 dB of quieting, so to speak, in the case of a FM broadcast receiver, which has got a 200 KC wide receiver, IF can, it takes, let me think, three times as many microvolts to give you quieting. And it sort of makes some sense. If you've got an IF bandwidth that's very broad, it's listening to a very wide channel of noise. Therefore, it takes a stronger signal to overcome that noise. Now, the capture effect you're talking about, if you're listening to a signal that's FM modulated and somebody gives you a dead carrier, and you start cranking up the dead carrier until the interference becomes intolerable, you've got to crank that carrier quite a bit stronger for the excess noise, the distortion you're making, to become intolerable with wideband FM than with narrowband FM. Baghdadi wrote a book on lectures on communication systems technique, I think is the name of the book. And he does a medium good job of explaining this. He takes a lot of pages, goes through a lot of math, gives you a bunch of diagrams, you read it a few times, you start understanding the capture effect. But that's another whole art and science itself. What is the real meaning of capture effect? K2LIW.
It's all very fascinating. That's just one observation I happen to make about the effect of that. Noticed that from many, many years back, actually. And it does seem to... it's interesting how you, you know, pick up stuff like that. But speaking about that same thing, what's going to be interesting, more interesting now, is that a lot of communication services in the next 5, 6, 7 years are pretty much going to be mandated to go to narrowband FM, like all the stuff you have up on the VHF and UHF frequencies. Right now, we're running at 5 kilohertz plus or minus 5 KC deviation. I believe they're going to be going to narrowband, which is plus or minus 2.5. So that's going to be interesting how the communication circuits are going to end up working, because with a narrower bandwidth, your noise is going to be more apparent on a weak signal.
Now that's for sure. In the case of a narrowband FM receiver, you have a strong need for a squelch circuit to silence the audio when the carrier disappears. Otherwise, your loudspeaker or earphones are going to give you a blast of noise. In the case of an FM broadcast receiver, you almost don't need a squelch circuit. When the carrier disappears, when the signal disappears, hey, you hear some noise in the background, but it's not super loud. Explaining that is not easy. Now, when it comes to high capture ratio receivers, there is something called the LAMB noise silencer, LAMB, which if you cascade a number of those stages of limiting bandwidth control, you can end up with a extremely high capture ratio. In that Baghdadi book, he mentions a receiver that has a capture ratio of 0.997. That means the weaker signal is 99.7% of the voltage of the stronger signal. It's damn close to unity by my standards. And with that well-designed high capture ratio receiver, the undesired signal, the one that's 0.997, is suppressed by 20 decibels. in the discriminator output. That's a good trick. Over to you. I can't stay in here too much longer tonight, Joe. K2RIW.
Well, speaking about the same subject, and I guess another facet of it, that FM deviation and so forth, I've also noticed that some types of commercial radio equipment typically seem to have better audio recovery at lower signal levels. Typically, like I've been using Motorola equipment for like years and years and years, and it seems to work very good at a fairly low signal level. It's good for you to let you hear that noisy signal, where some of the other stuff I've used, like the GE stuff, for example, doesn't seem to be quite as good as the low end as the Motorola does, especially for base stations. I'm not knocking the repeater up there, but, that's what I pretty much noticed.
You got to be careful now, you're not creating an apple and orange comparison. Did that GE receiver and the Motorola receiver both have the same front end noise figure? Big factor. Number two, did they both have the same IF bandwidth of the IF cans? Number three, are they both running the same kind of limiter and discriminator circuits or ratio detector circuits? So there's a number of things you could be comparing here. Where you saw a significant difference in microvolts for a receiver that's designed for the same amount of deviation, I am guessing the biggest difference could have been the noise figure of the front end. Over to you, Joe.
This is more going back to actually earlier Motorola equipment, because I guess probably by today's standard, the stuff that they both produce is probably very comparable to each other. I'm talking about actually older stuff back from the mid-70s, late 70s, early 80s type of equipment. And I wouldn't know the noise figure and the bandwidth of the specific equipment I was using to compare one to the other. So I guess I was probably trying to compare apples to oranges.
Yeah, but when you were doing the comparison, were you measuring a GE versus a Motorola in the number of microvolts required to give you 20 decibels of noise quieting? Was that the test you were comparing?
No, because both receivers would give you the same, they had the same rating. Typically, what they would give you for quieting I'll give you a standard figure commercially, 0.5 to 20 dB of quieting. That's pretty much a industry standard. All stuff made nowadays at least meets 0.5 to 20 dB of quieting. I'm talking about you listening to a signal maybe 6 dB or 8 dB below that level. And can your ears decode what the person is actually saying? It seems like the Motorola stuff seemed to have a little bit of an edge over the GE stuff.
Okay, there is something called FM threshold extension techniques, and it's possible Motorola was using that and GE hadn't started using it yet. You ever heard those words before?
No, I have not.
Yeah, NASA did quite a bit of experimenting with this on their deep space network communications receivers. There are ways you can set up the limiter discriminator IF cans such that when a signal is weak and you're starting to hear a lot of noise in the background, there are techniques that can give you threshold extension. A certain way of using a phase lock loop in the frequency discriminator can give you some of that benefit. That's another whole area, but if you Google the words FM threshold extension techniques, I think it's likely you'll find a number of articles that'll give you a hint along these lines. I'm going to have to leave you, Joe. Bye-bye for now, and see you down the log. KQRIW.
Okay, set up for you, Dick. Good night. So, as always, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I'm being on the TechNet. WA to Wally Roy.
12:28 a.m. The 12:28 a.m. The 12:31 a.m. Connected. Disconnected. Set tonight at 8:30. net tonight at 8:30. The time is 1:23 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. 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 Good morning. The time is 5 a.m.
UA2KOP.
The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.
UA2KOP.
Net tonight at 8:30.
Do. UAQ KLP. I noticed it too. Looks like Bruce Reiner didn't get his funding for his Man at the Odds. That's a big job. They built a whole bunch of condos down at Metrotech, Ashland and Fulton, Warner in particular. I come in this time in the morning, I look at it, it's all dark. There must be 14 tenants in the whole building, and yet they're still building more. I don't know what in the world they're thinking. But I definitely see it. A lot of these condos they're building. Oh, Fourth Avenue is another one. You can't sell a condo, so they're renting them. I've got Newtown Creek. Water pollution over there. It's one of the ones I've been putzing around with. And Coney Island, Knapp Street. I don't think I've seen any of your stuff there. They got a lot of machines over at Newtown Creek. Man, that's been going on for years. That'll probably be going on when I retire. Back to you.
Newtown Creek, we had about 150 machines on that job. We had a bunch of the big boys over there for the longest time. Then they were done with those, and I think there's about 30 or 40 little scissor lifts roaming around that job. I know the Knapp Street job, too, also got some scissor lifts on it. The other water treatment facility over there by Rikers Island, by the prison barge, Rwanda Street over there in the Bronx, another water treatment facility. We have about 20 machines on that job. And the one up in Mainbridge in Jerome it blows away some of the other ones. Just the depth of the tanks and everything, it's just insane. We handle a lot of production stuff, and the good thing is the production end of it has picked up a little bit, which is good. So, we'll see what happens with that, we got a few loyal and steady production companies. All the law and orders use all of our equipment, and HBO, Showtime and all those guys, Disney, whenever they do something, they're always renting our stuff. So production-wise, we stay pretty busy. Almost every Broadway show's got at least two of our lifts backstage. So that's how we keep plugging along. Steady work. Stuff sits there. It's not really being used, but they keep it there because they need it. They can't wait to get it in on a truck, so they hold on to it for the whole run of a show. And we just go in there once in a blue moon and do maintenance on it. That's it.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much shooting they do in the area, There's another one, there's a studio, I'm sure you know, all besides the Brooklyn Navy out there, right, that's the diner. Got another one over there by concrete, as a matter of fact, right opposite. All the cows and farm animals on a roof there. I was by there last, I think, Thursday, and they must have had a half a dozen tractor trailer mounted generators there, there's a lot of production going on in that area. It's good. So that's going anyway, Nothing else, like you said. Then I gotta say 73 isn't at the parking lot here, so see you down the road, John. Have a good day. WA2KOP this time.
All right, have a great morning. Yeah, at Steiner Studios, Silver Cup, Kaufman Astoria, Cinema World is over there by the Newtown Creek. got the other Silver Cup East, you got Silver Cup West, Broadway Stages. Yeah, you got the one across the street there from the John Creek too, that's new. So, and they're building another one, so I guess the city's giving them some good tax breaks, who knows. Anyway, have a good one. Maybe I'll catch you on the return trip. Love you too, HCB. Seven, three.
Net tonight at 8:30.
And to Alpha Sierra Sierra.
Hello, Gregor.
I knew you'd be out there.
I'm out here. Yes, I am. Heading over to Portland Avenue this morning. Yes, I know things for us, right?
Where are you now? What's your location now? You were a little bit scratchy into the machine just then.
Yeah, I'm in a big orange hole. I'm over by Lipa on 111 over here. It's the most horrible place in the world to transmit radio.
Oh, you should pop onto the 375 machine from over there.
Programmed in this radio. No dice. Can't program it on the fly either.
Oh, I gotcha. No problem. Yeah, because I usually, I go to my parents' house in Dix Hills, and usually I stay on the 375, right to exit 52. I stay on the 375. But I'll tell you though, both machines have been working pretty good. You know, the 375, its easterly direction picked up dramatically. I mean, I was using it way past Tangamall, out east, you know, past the end of the LIE, and I never used to get in there quieting from there. Now it's like full quieting.
Yeah, I hate it. And for the West, too, because, he gets into it for the GW Bridge, he holds all the way to Massman. He comes in on the 375.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was some new guy who just got his tech license on yesterday. I guess he's from where, you know, NJC from Jersey? He must be from that area. He was coming in staticky, but he said he's on the south. He said the south shore of Jersey. Whatever that would be. I don't know what the South Shore of Jersey is.
That's the shore, man. That's the shore. He's by the water. You know what worked really good yesterday? My TS-480 in the hamster in the back of my pickup truck worked really good yesterday.
What, you put that in your truck?
I get about over an hour at that time at my location. So I put the air stick on the truck bed and fired up the TS-40 and I played Christmas for a while. First contact, Lafayette, Louisiana. Second contact, Puerto Rico on 25 watts.
So I guess you can make contacts. I was debating whether to go HF out of the car. But I said, I was going to do that, and I didn't know. Maybe, I don't know. It's something to think about. I've been thinking about setting that up, but I never did it. I'm mad at myself. I wanted to turn on the receiver just to do a little receiving and see what was coming in. I just didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, it's not a permanent installation in the pickup truck, you know. Got 324 mounts on the back, on the rail. My uncle knows the place. We've been sitting for a while. Here, go lay in six and go to it. I was pleasantly surprised yesterday. Once I threw out the call, oh my goodness, I could.
I guess I should. I should. I have, I picked up, I think it's a Hustler antenna. It looks like just a straight stick with like a fold-over piece in the middle. And then you have like a mount that holds like three different resonator type antennas on there. You know, so for 40 meters, 20 meters, and 10 meters, something like that. And then if you take them all off, it's 6 meters. So I guess I could use that. You know, I'll put that, set that up on the truck. I don't want to set that thing up on the car. It's too big.
Yeah, my area, I'm out of Scorpio, be back, bringer. 92HCB. I'll tell you really, something really exciting happened to my buddy yesterday when I get back.
Make a quick landline tip.
Net tonight at 8:30. Net tonight at 8:30.
W2HCB, caffeinated mobile. November 2, Alpha Sierra Sierra. Yeah, I'm there.
Hold on, I'm on the landline. Give me 2 seconds.
Roger, roger. W2HCB.
N2ZEP Mobile.
W2HCB.
Good morning, Mr. Elf. N2ZEP.
Here, front of me is Step. What's going on? Oh, I did my public duty yesterday, and it's the public service guy yourself. A little 5K half marathon duty today.
I think I heard that you said you worked a 5K half marathon / half marathon. I was doing a little bit of civic work myself. It was a combination of pleasure work. I attended my troops' 20th anniversary dinner. And since I'm the treasurer, I had some work to do.
Yeah, roger that. I hear that. Yeah, well, you know. And so once a year, I do. You know, head out east. I'm at the southernmost end of the course, so everybody's going to pass me twice. So in between the first group and when they come around again, it's quite long. So, I decided this year, since I've got all kinds of toys and stuff, to bring some toys out with me and play during my nap time.
And what kind of toys did you bring with you? Or can't you mention them on the air?
Well, I purchased a TS-480 Kenwood last year. And this was the first time I've actually used the radio. With a wonderful little thing on the back of a pickup truck called a ham stick. And I said, oh, what the heck, yeah, let me try this out, you know. I got nothing to lose. I got about an hour's worth of downtime. So, scroll through the old 20 meter band there, and there's a contest going on. So I found a guy calling CQ, and I threw my call. And, whoa, the mobile station, go! So I get his call sign, and I got no clue where the guy is. I don't know these things off the top of my head. So I call one of my buddies who was home by his computer, and he runs the call. Gary, 25 watts, Lafayette, Louisiana, Puerto Rico, Texas, Kansas, Oregon. My buddy Carl, who is a recently upgraded general, worked his first HF contact via a mobile.
I guess the you were close enough to the shoreline, you had a nice ground plane for reflection.
Yeah, I wasn't too close to the water, Gary. Nichols Road, north of the expressway. The PD turnaround just north of the expressway is my yearly location that I sit and watch all the runners run past me instead of turning. They run through the cones, they run past the truck with the flashing lights. Can't even figure that out.
You're kidding me. You've got everything marked to turn around, and they keep running straight. Oh, wonderful. Too bad it wasn't a little warmer. You would have had a little bit nicer viewing as they run past you.
Yeah, well, the numbers were down because of the weather, and the event itself did not run smooth.
All you can do is your job.
Yes, well, I wrote a little, I dropped a note to the coordinator of the event at my disgust of our net, trying to get things clarified as to where is my ambulance that's supposed to be at the south end. Usually it's there 10 minutes before the marathon starts. There's one north, there's one south, and there's one in the middle. Because you know as well as I know, you can't get through the crowd of people with an ambulance if somebody gets hurt. So you got to have a minimum of three or more, depending on the size of the course. Well, good old net control goes, we'll get back to you. Meanwhile, you know, work at fire frequencies. There's fire frequencies for a reason, right, Gary? Right? You got all, you got the amateur net, which is basically a medical dropout net. Okay? Then you got the logistics net. Then you got the big shot net. I mean, they ran the logistics and the medical net on the same frequency. Talk about confusing.
Woohoo!
You know, if EB was listening right now, his hair would be standing up.
You don't need EB on frequency for that because for the Nassau Marathon, I have been running net control on the main net. And for the New York City Marathon, I've been working, last year I worked as a mile captain. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And it all depends upon how much traffic you're going to pass. If it's a heavily attended marathon like the New York City, you better have all five frequencies. But if it's a small half marathon, you could probably get away with two or three.
Yeah, you know. Now, usually, Gary, I'm going to ask you this. You've done a lot of marathons, okay? You got a sweep vehicle that comes behind the runners, correct? The sweep vehicle is the last thing you should see going past you at your mile point. 10 minutes after the sweep vehicle clears me, here comes a guy. He's a jogging pace, you know. So, the mile before me, or the half mile before me, calls net control to verify if this is a straggler or the lead runner. Guy makes it up to me. Net control 7 gets back to the other mark, the guy at 11. I'm at like the 11 and a half mark, you know. I call net control with a query. I said, I have a male runner, bib number, blah, blah, blah. Is this the leader or is this the last guy running? He is 15 to 20 minutes behind the sweep car. Okay, the first male runner you got there is of a... No, I'm asking a question. Oh, my goodness.
Well, they never got back to us on that either.
Sounds like they have an inexperienced net control operator. He was half, he or she was half listening to what was being said. Either that, or the people in charge of the marathon did not know what was going on and couldn't give the net control operator the proper answers. You know, that's one of the things, working as net control, my sound of intelligence is only as good as the information that's fed to me. All I am is a communicator. I get the questions from you in the field. I ask the higher-ups. If they don't come back with an answer, I have nothing to tell you. And all I can do is say, wait one.
Right, and I understand that. See, I've played net control for a couple of other events. Okay? I've never, ever, ever, ever walked away from the radio, okay, and left it unattended. You call it net control. So-and-so net control. Silence. Complete silence. So-and-so net control. Five attempts to get net control. There was a problem. I resulted to picking up my cell phone and calling my buddy who was in the Prez vehicle, who was not on our frequency because they had him on a command frequency. Unbelievable. The stupidity. And then when net control finally got around to, with somebody calling net control, 13 minutes later, the problem had already been resolved. And I said, never mind, with my identifier and my call sign and clear. I got so disgusted.
The horror. The horror.
Brain ankle. Elderly woman.
Good morning, Weasel. Why don't you take a full turn and give it back to me at 2ZEB.
Horror of net control. God, what is this world coming to? This is the KB2NQN Mobile. I am currently east of the viaduct. Right now I'm center span of the viaduct, soon to be west of the viaduct and north and east of the repeater. Good morning. So, there, little, wee little man. Sounds like it was not a happy time at the old corral. Did somebody get their wrist slapped for this? Because, you know, we're all volunteers.
Steve, we may all be volunteers, but the whole idea of doing these public service events is to train for actual emergency. And if this were an actual emergency, the net control operator would have really dropped the ball on this one. I know it can be hectic at times, and you could have people near the net control operator talking and he's having trouble. That's the reason why at events such as the Gold Coast Bike Tour and the NASA Marathon, where I work net control periodically, I always bring a set of headphones, so if it's too noisy at the control center, I throw those on so I can hear what's going on. John?
Hey, how about this one? How about you call net control from your spot, okay? You got a major problem, right? You call net control. Net control responds. I'm chewing my daily. Hold on. And then never gets back to you. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I had a long conversation last night with one of the coordinators of the event last night. And that individual purposely did not carry a radio yesterday because he got fed up with the way things got done 2 years ago. But Stevie, I made good use of my time. I played HF from the Mobile. Yes, I did. Yes, I did, Steve. I did. I toyed around with my little 480 radio and a hamstick, man. I created a little bit of a pileup on 20 meters yesterday. W2HCB. Stevie?
That's it? The Doomsday Budget guy's not here today? Wow. Maybe he got laid off. All right. Good. I think there was a contest on this week, and I didn't really even listen this week, and I was busy doing other things. But Bob OSR told me there was a contest happening. So I wonder if that's what you were playing with. Also, I did listen in last night for the first time at the segment on 40 meters that opened up. And there was some YAM activity at 7160, which is great news. That means it's gonna another place to hang out at night now on AM. It has a little better propagation. So that's cool. I don't know if you're aware of this, the AM broadcast stations were moved up about 7200, so it's cool stuff. Garish.
I really can't talk about that because I don't go on the HF bands. So I'll just swing it over to the Gulf.
Oh, Garish. Go get that little book there and go take that general test. No need to buy any equipment. You can come out by us and light. And then you too can experience the wonders of HF. Or you can check out all our special event stations. We encourage guest operators, and you can operate under our extra privileges if you want to experience some real HF activity. And yes, Steve, there was a contest on, and not bad. From the big bad Hemi Ram, Steve. First one out of the box, Lafayette, Louisiana, followed up by Kilo Papa 4 Whiskey Sugar, Puerto Rico, with a 5-9, but everybody's a 5-9 in the contest. Stevie, over to you, 5-9, sir, 001.
Yes, I am not a contester either. But there are some people that are into it, so, you know, whatever makes their boat float, I guess. For me, I basically avoid the radio when there's a contest going on, and it turns me off completely. Anyway, so what happened with this net control? Did they walk away to get a cup of coffee? They fell asleep? Maybe they went for some much-needed periodonture? What happened, Gary?
I don't know. I wasn't there, but I do know when I take a break from the main radio, I take an HD with me tuned to the same frequency. So even if usually I have a relief person. Even if they drop the ball, I can pick it up from an HD. John?
Yep. Oh, what happened, Steve? What happened? Well, they put everybody on the same frequency. So, you know, when you're doing these things, the race people ask you to relay some important information, because they like to know when the lead runner is at the most south end of the course, because then they notice they're coming around, you know? So, you know, I call in the net control, and I get nothing. I call in the net control, I get nothing. I call in again, I get nothing. This guy gets on the ring. Hold on. I'll get back to you. You'll get back to me. What the heck? then they disappear for 10 minutes. You know? People are yelling, we're out of cups at the water stop. Net control, net control. Finally, some guy got on the frequency and said, where are you? Like car 54.
Yeah. Okay, so I take it that guy or people that were, whose shift that was, won't be doing that anymore. That's what I would have to say, since we're all volunteers. And Gary, I've seen how the, I don't want to be maligned with this, but I've seen firsthand how this group, meaning on this frequency, handles emergencies, and took me a long, long time to become active in any kind of emergency situation again after that. I'm talking about 7-8 years worth of time. The pathetic response I got one fateful day in 2001. This is the GB2NQN Mobile. Gary?
I don't know, years ago before I was commuting a couple of days a week during these hours, if I was down by my desk during mobile hours, this is the years before the cell phone boom, I would have the little 2-meter station up and running, and there were times that I heard people requesting a base station for a 911 relay. And the frustrating part was you go call the police department through the emergency number, and you're calling from where? You mean you're nowhere near the accident? Getting through to those boys in blue was frustrating. John?
I see, Gary, we don't have that problem here out in Suffolk. No, sir, we do not. If I call 911 in Suffolk, okay, if I'm relaying stuff, okay, they have in their system, because the Suffolk County Oasis group made them aware of amateur radio operators. And if you're a member of the Suffolk County Racing, when you call in, if you give your call sign, it's in their system that you are an amateur radio operator and you are a radio relay. That was, God, 2000 they did that? It's still that today. Much easier, because they had the similar problem many years ago. You'd call up and, oh, I'm not near it, I'm an amateur radio operator, the guy's calling on a local repeater, this is the location, it's a blue car, license plate, blah, 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 he's on the shoulder, blah, 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 blah. What? How do you know? You're not there. Oh, Lordy, what's this world coming to? Anyway. Yes, yeah, Steve, I normally avoid contests too, but when you want to pick up a quick couple of needed states. Yeah, throw you a call out in the middle of a contest. And being the good QSL that I am, at lunchtime today, I will be filling out my QSL cards and putting them in little envelopes with a little return envelope and a stamp and sending them out. Because I'm a very courteous operator. Stevie, over to you. A little Geek Park way for me.
Just going across the Cross Estel Parkway on Northern Boulevard. All right. I only respond to QSLs that are sent to me. I don't send any out. Haven't for a long time. And I think I'm a courteous operator. Anyway, let me tell you a little story about a man named Jed. No. I'll tell you a little story. This is in my youth. This is before, you know, way before cell phones, but even before you know, VHF was real popular on marine applications. And we used to have these, you know, they were like HF sideband radios that were tuned to the marine frequencies, which sort of kind of weren't dictated even back then. This was in the 70s. Well, actually, it was in the 60s, the late 60s. I was crewing on a boat. I was a deckhand on a fishing boat. And we were in the lower New York Bay. Actually off by Sandy Hook. And at that time there were a lot of wooden boats. I'm sure you guys remember wooden fishing boats. And a boat was on fire. So we called it in. And back then the Coast Guard was also, you know, not the way it is today. And I'll never forget, I was in the pilot house with the captain. And I was looking in the binoculars, trying to get the name off the boat and everything. And the guy on the other side of the frequency was asking my captain like 100 questions. How big? What color? How many people? Did I look like they have life jackets? What's the approximate location? And after about 15 questions, my captain says, "It's the only damn boat on fire."
Yeah, that could pose a easily identifiable situation. The boat on fire, yeah. Although some of those questions would have been helpful to know what kind of rescue operation. If you're talking about a small 20-foot private boat, you've only got maybe a half a dozen people, but if you're talking about a big fishing boat, you could have a dozen or more, and they have to be prepared for the rescue operation. John?
Yeah, I know. Hey, Gary, here's a good question for you. Now, Steve, you might ponder this too. You volunteer to do something. Okay? So you volunteer to do something, they send you out a thing, you'll try to